From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns will begin a series of messages expounding one of the most blessed and beloved passages in the Old Testament Scriptures, Isaiah chapter 53. The theme of this chapter is the humiliation and exaltation of Christ. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. Before he comes, please enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, taken from his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, A Heavenly Escort. The text is found in Genesis chapter 28 and verse 15. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. Do we need journeying mercies? Here are choice ones, God's presence and preservation. In all places we need both of these. And in all places we shall have them if we go at the call of duty, and not merely according to our own fancy. Why should we look upon removal to another country as a sorrowful necessity, when it is laid upon us by the divine will? In all lands the believer is equally a pilgrim and a stranger, and yet in every region the Lord is his dwelling place, even as he has been to his saints in all generations. We may miss the protection of an earthly monarch, but when God says, I will keep thee, we are in no real danger. This is a blessed passport for a traveler and a heavenly escort for an emigrant. Jacob had never left his father's room before. He had been a mother's boy and not an adventurer like his brother. Yet he went abroad, and God went with him. He had little luggage and no attendants. Yet no prince ever journeyed with a nobler bodyguard. Even while he slept in the open field, angels watched over him, and the Lord God spoke to him. If the Lord bids us go, let us say with our Lord Jesus, Arise, let us go hence.
I trust in God, I trust in God.
Ooh.
Are you looking for guidance and help in your study of the Bible? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. On this edition of Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns commences a series of studies of the 53rd chapter of Isaiah's prophecy. The book of Isaiah has been called the Gospel of the Old Testament for its many prophetic passages that speak of the Lord Jesus Christ, from his virgin birth to his sacrificial death on the cross and beyond. Chapter 53 portrays the clearest prophecy of Christ's crucifixion, as well as the reason for it to be found in the Old Testament. Dr. Cairns begins these studies with verses 13 through 15 of chapter 52, for that is where the passage really starts. The verses fall into three divisions: Christ the servant, Christ the sufferer, and Christ the Savior. Now, with the opening portion of a message called The Humiliation and Exaltation of Christ, here is Dr. Cairns.
We're turning in God's Word this morning to the Old Testament Scriptures, the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 52. The 52nd chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah, with a very brief reading at the very end of the chapter, verses 13, 14, and 15 of the 52nd chapter of Isaiah. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men, so shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to these verses from his own precious word. Strange as it may seem to us, the famous 53rd chapter of Isaiah actually begins with what is listed as verse 13 of chapter 52. The verses that form our text this morning, in fact, set out for us an outline of the entire subject matter of the prophet's unique revelation of the person and work of Christ in Isaiah 53. For it is Christ who is described in the verses we have read and in the entire chapter 53, if you go on to read about him who is called the plant that grows up out of a dry ground, he's called the Lamb, etc. That is all a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. In ancient times, even Jewish expositors admitted that these verses were a prediction concerning the Messiah. And with an almost unanimous voice, the great Jewish scholars, as they studied the Old Testament, lifted up this passage of Scripture as being prophetic of the Messiah whom their God would send for their deliverance. However, when the Church of Christ began with the New Testament writers to use this passage to uplift the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, when the correspondence between the prophecy and the fulfillment of it in our Lord Jesus Christ became so palpable and so plain, Jewish expositors were forced to do one of two things: either to capitulate to the claims of Jesus Christ, or to falsify the testimony of their own historic treatment of the passage. They chose the latter course. They have, through the centuries now, been driven from one shift to another in an effort to try to deny that these verses speak of the Messiah. Not only have Jewish expositors anciently accepted this as speaking of Christ, but obviously the New Testament writers saw Christ in it and used it to speak of him. Throughout the history of the church, you will find that every great theologian, every great linguist, every great expositor, and every great preacher has seen Christ in this passage of Scripture. In fact, it was not until German rationalism arose with its idea that predictive prophecy was an a priori impossibility that in Christendom there was any serious doubt raised as to Christ being the meaning and the message of these verses. But when all said and done, you would have to be blinder than the proverbial bat to read these verses and not have your heart and your mind turned automatically, inevitably, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Since the New Testament writers had no hesitation in referring this to Christ, so we will refer it to the Savior. The great theme of Isaiah in the verses we have read, and indeed, as I've said, worked out in detail in the chapter that follows, the great theme of Isaiah is the theme of the whole New Testament. This is why so often Isaiah is called by many preachers the gospel according to Isaiah. You'll find that here the New Testament is so anticipated as to be very, very clearly revealed. The theme of Isaiah in our text is the humiliation and the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ, with the emphasis on the ultimate and glorious exaltation. As we think of this humiliation and exaltation of Christ, I want to point out that in our text there are three distinct divisions to the prophet's description. In verse 13, he speaks of Christ the servant. Notice the wording, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently." Then in verse 14, he deals with Christ the sufferer. He says, "Many were astonished at thee. His visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men." 14 then is Christ the sufferer. When we come to verse 15, you find that as verse 14 starts with the word as many were astonished at thee, verse 15 starts, "So shall he sprinkle many nations." Here then you have balancing statements. And verse 15 is speaking of Christ the Savior. Now I want us to take this very simple, basic, structural outline of Isaiah dealing with the humiliation and the exaltation of Christ. And I want us just to think for a few minutes upon our Lord Jesus Christ as the servant, as the sufferer, and finally as the Savior. "Behold my servant," starts off verse 13. And when he comes to deal with the servant, of course Isaiah is now dealing with one of the great and major themes of the second part of his book. When you start Isaiah chapter 40, you come to the New Testament section of the prophecy of Isaiah. I don't believe in the inspiration of the chapter divisions. I've already said that what's at the end of chapter 52 really would probably be better placed in chapter 53. So I'm not arguing for inspired chapter divisions. But it is more than coincidence to me that in the 39 chapters of the first section of Isaiah, you have a very close correspondence with the Old Testament scriptures, Genesis to Malachi. And from chapter 40 to chapter 66, you have an equally close correspondence with the New Testament 27 books. You study it carefully, and you'll find that 40 to 66 is really the New Testament of the book of Isaiah. And in this New Testament section, he starts dealing with many New Testament themes. One of them is Christ the servant of the Lord. We were singing about this morning in a paraphrase from Isaiah chapter 42. You will find there at the very beginning of 42, he says, "Behold my servant whom I uphold." Christ is especially and uniquely the servant of Jehovah. Just as he goes on to say he is mine elect, Christ is especially and uniquely God's elect one. I have always said, and I trust you'll never forget it, that election ought never to be considered apart from Christ. Election and predestination and foreordination and predetermination and all these great themes that so bamboozle men are not philosophical things in the Bible. They are mightily and vitally connected to Jesus Christ. He is God's elect one, and it is only in union with him that we are included in the decree of God's election. Never forget that. Election is a soteriological, to give it the big term, a salvation doctrine. It is not a point of human or even speculatively theological philosophy. Equally, all our service for God must be service in Christ, because he is uniquely the servant of the Lord. And any service that is not in Christ is not service to God at all. It is not acceptable to God. It is a vain will worship. It is a vain, empty action of a depraved heart trying to get rid of its guilt and placate a God who will be implacable outside of Christ. He is uniquely the servant of Jehovah. Isaiah continues to use this. I haven't time this morning to trace his usage of it, but he continues to use this servant of the Lord. Now, I've pointed something out to you before, and I'm going to do it again. I trust that it means as much to you as it does to me. It is very interesting that when he deals with this title, the servant of the Lord, when he comes to Isaiah 53, here you have the servant of the Lord going to the ultimate, going to the death, being the sacrifice, the propitiation, to placate the wrath of God, to expiate the guilt of man, and to reconcile the souls that have been alienated to God, to justify them, sanctify them, glorify them. He has gone to the ultimate. Here then is the great pinnacle of the service of the servant of the Lord. That is the last reference to the servant of the Lord in Isaiah. Chapter 53 gives you the last reference to the servant of the Lord in Isaiah. From then on, in chapter 54 and following, you will find that the word is plural. It is the servants of the Lord. There are no servants of the Lord unless there is first of all the servant of the Lord. And only on the basis of the person and the work of Jesus Christ, culminated on Calvary's cross, only on that basis have we any ground ever to be accepted as servants of the Lord. I was reading a wonderful statement the Lord told Moses to give to the children of Israel. I've been thinking about it. I'll get to preach on it some of these days. I was just thinking this morning as I pondered it a little more that I wish I were a songwriter, because I think there's a great hymn, there's a great song, there's a great testimony in it. You remember when they came out of the land of Egypt, the Lord gave to Moses the first order about the use of phylacteries. I don't know if you've ever noticed that. He told them what they were to bind about their eyes and about their hands in order to remind them of his dealings with them. But as he did so, it's very important to notice this. He said, when your sons ask you, what is this all about? When they come inquiring about this, listen to verse 8 of chapter 13 in Exodus. This is the answer. This is done because of that which the Lord did unto me. Our service is done because of what the Lord did. This is what Isaiah's use of the servant and the servants all adds up to. Our service is not done to obtain the favor of God. Our service is not done to get God off our back. Our service is not done to remove the rod of God's affliction or the rod of God's punishment. Our service is not done to unlock the gate of heaven.
Our service is done because of what Christ has done for us and to us. It is the free expression of justified men, of reconciled souls who are serving the Lord in the liberty of love for Christ. That's what our service is.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.